Saturday night. That means it's time for the Don Tony Show.
The wait all week long is finally over. Get Don Tony's perspective on current affairs in the world of pro wrestling and much more. The Don Tony Show.
And now, your host, the man, the legend, Don Tony.
Hello, everybody. Good evening. I hope everybody is having a nice weekend. I know AEW Battle of the Belts is currently on the air, and I got to be honest with you. I thought about starting this show at 9.05 p.m. instead of 8.05 p.m. But you see, when they announced Battle of the Belts a month and a half ago, you may remember my thumbnail from about a month ago. This is what they were advertising. And from everything that I saw, no tag titles were going to be on the line. No heavyweight title was going to be on the line. Yes, we were going to have Cody and Britt Baker defend their titles. But instead of getting that as advertised, we got this instead. Ricky Starks defending the FTW heavyweight title against Matt Sydal. Honestly, I ain't postponing my show an hour for that. Britt Baker, who you know is going to retain the women's championship because they keep teasing the split with Jamie Hayter. She's going to defend her title against Riho, as Jim Cornette would say. Riho! You know, believe it or not, I'm a Jim Cornette Patreon now. Does that make me a member of the Cult of Cornette? Would you ever thought that if you go back to the Breakfast with Blasi days? And then in the middle, Dustin Rhodes against Sammy Guevara for the interim TNT championship. Interim. Okay. I want to kick it right off. Now, look, we have a loaded show tonight. We're going to talk WWE. We're going to talk about them impacting the Forbidden Door. It's a bigger deal than you think. We'll get into it. We'll talk about AEW news, Royal Rumble. I got to start practicing my Seth Rollins impersonation because suddenly Seth Rollins, everybody likes Seth Rollins. Oh, I should have wore the Rollins shirt today, but to be honest with you, I got a little creeped out the last 2 days because on Wednesday, I had every intention on wearing my WWE Performance Center shirt to continue the conversation of what we had on Monday. And then you had the William Regal release and a bunch of releases, so it obviously took on a different meaning. On Thursday, I wore the Blackheart shirt to pay homage to my former Hotline buddies. You know, we're now 25 years. It is officially 25 years of Don Tony doing this stuff. And I want to pay a little homage to my buddies. Until after the show was over, and I had quite a few of you DMing me and emailing me saying, hey, DT, I don't know if you realized it, but Thursday, when I wore the Blackheart shirt, believe it or not, Thursday was the 7-year anniversary that we lost Timmy. I had no idea. I had no idea. And it's so weird. I have about 150 wrestling shirts that, you know, I just sometimes, you know, if wrestler's on my mind, I'll wear it. If it's a subject of the day, I'll wear it. Sometimes I'll pull out a vintage shirt just to have a whole bunch of people like, holy shit, where'd you get that? But I swear to you, those 2 days, I did not have any alternative meanings other than, you know, I feel like wearing this shirt today. Had no idea. So, Timmy, 7 years already, my friend. Miss you. Miss you very much, and hope you're kicking ass up there. I don't know how many zombies are in heaven, but you are definitely one of them. So tonight I decided to wear no theme shirt. I almost wore a Brian Pillman shirt for some reason. And I thought, okay, well, that probably would be safe today. But I was like, all right, no shirt, no shirt. So we got a lot of stuff to get into. Before we talk about Mickey James, Forbidden Door, Impact, WWE, whole bunch of shit, let's talk about this Cody Rhodes, Dustin Rhodes, Sammy Guevara situation. Look, I have no problem with creativity. I like creativity. I like storylines. But if they're caca, you know, at least we have the balls to call it out when it's caca. Cody Rhodes was supposed to face Sammy Guevara tonight for the TNT title. Cody Rhodes is off the show because of COVID protocol. Of course, Cody, Tony Khan, AEW, doesn't owe us an explanation. But I always feel like you either say it or you don't say it. Does Cody have COVID? Was Cody exposed to someone who has COVID? COVID protocol. There are so many definitions of that. And I'm like, okay, I could get past that. I could get past that. The most important thing is we don't want Cody to be sick. We don't want him to get other people sick. Whatever happened, you know, he's got to obviously take a few days, be in isolation, whether he has it or he was exposed to somebody that has it. But then some genius has the idea, let's do a TNT interim championship. Did people, like, not understand what that meant? Dustin versus Sammy tonight, the winner is going to be the interim championship. Now, I'm sorry, unless there's another variant that I'm aware of, that if you're exposed in front of, that you're out of action 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, then I could say, okay, interim championship. But you notice, I'm sure you notice by now, we say things on the shows, and shortly thereafter, it's always coincidence, right after, about an hour or two after, people write word for word the same thing. I go on Twitter, I write it within an hour, word for word. And it's funny because it's people that read my feed. I said, what's the purpose of this interim championship? They're making it sound like Cody's going to be out of action for like a month. If he does not have COVID, he isolates 3 to 5 days. Why can't he defend the title next week or the week after? Or the week after? Why does the TNT championship have to be defended? Well, I'll tell you why. Because number one, it's Battle of the Belts. It's on TNT. So they figure, okay, we can't take that title off. Okay, why doesn't Dustin defend the title for Cody? Okay, I mean, if you're putting Cody in this match, I mean, you're putting Dustin in this match. Tell me, where does Dustin on the rankings fit in for a TNT title shot? I'm sorry, I don't remember looking at the top fives, the top tens, the top 20s. I don't remember seeing Dustin on that list. Did you? So why is Dustin not having this match? Oh, I get it. We have to do the TNT interim championship because we don't want Sammy to lose to Dustin. I will bet the freaking ranch today that Sammy does not lose to Dustin. Because if Dustin was supposed to win all along, they could have simply had, I want my brother to take my place. I'm sure the AEW diehards would have no problem with it. Look, we don't have to overanalyze every little storyline. But you create a TNT interim championship when somebody has a broken foot, that somebody has some serious illness. You had Seth Rollins, forget Seth Rollins for me, you had Roman Reigns test positive for COVID on last Saturday night. 2 days later, not even 2 days later, that Monday morning, I asked a few people who I trust, one who works for WWE, and I said, hey, any update on Roman? Yeah, from what I heard, you know, he was surprised that he tested positive and, you know, he feels great. So as long as he has 2 days in a row of negative tests, Roman will be back as early as Friday. We talked about it last Monday. People thought I was insane for saying something like that. We ended up being right. So if Cody was just exposed to someone and he doesn't get the COVID, why create a TNT? Because they don't want Sammy to lose to anybody but Cody. So by Sammy winning this interim championship, then in 2 weeks, title for title. That's an awful lot to take in, especially when you have Dustin in the match. I have nothing against Dustin. When I saw that, I'm like, okay, hard pass for yours truly. Hard pass for yours truly. So that's what's going on tonight. Like I said, I hope Cody's okay. But, you know, when you see what's going on, to go this far to create an interim championship where the guy could literally be back in action as early as Wednesday, if he was just exposed to someone and after 5, 6 days, 7 days, he has no symptoms and he tests negative 2 days in a row, why couldn't he defend the title after Dynamite goes off the air for the Rampage taping for next Friday? Why? Why not have Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus defend the championships against some other tag team tonight? TNT interim championship? That is all designed for Sammy to get a win and so they could do title for title. That's not Ultimate Warrior Hulk Hogan. That's not Brock Lesnar or Roman Reigns either. You watch. You watch. By the way, since Battle of the Belts is live, if someone could give me the results during this show, I would greatly appreciate it. This way I could let everybody know as well. Now, look, if Dustin, for some reason, wins it, that would be interesting too, because a lot of people have been wanting a rematch with Dustin versus Cody. But then I asked the question, why is Dustin in this match in the first place? If Dustin is not ranked, why does he get the title match? If he's fighting on behalf of his brother, then you defend the title on behalf of your brother. Creating an, so Dustin's going to be awarded the TNT title. They could do that too. Dustin hasn't had a singles title in a very long time. The more I think about it, the more I probably would want Dustin to win this. In fact, I'm rooting for Dustin. I hope Dustin wins it. But you read between the lines. If they really were going to have Dustin win this, then why create an interim championship? He just got to defend the title on his brother's behalf. So, want to give a shout out to our newest members of the Elite family, Derek Murchison, MTRZ Gaming, and Jay Flores, $24.99. Shout out to our VIP channel members, new channel members, Casey is Raw, Cool Kermasi, Vape Ross Vape, One Fall Podcast. Yes, he is now a channel member. Tommy D and LaCellus Williams. So welcome, my friends. Welcome, my friends. Now, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Another interview that for some reason, I mean, wrestling media, wrestling websites, wrestling writers, wrestling podcasters, they will rehash every little thing for hits, for news, for search engine results, which is logical. This is the second Triple H interview that has taken place in the last couple of years that everybody is ignoring because they want to keep this idea, this agenda that Triple H is a clown with no influence. The other day, we talked about the Triple H interview that he did less than 5 years ago when he said NXT's roster, it's like college football. It turns over, new roster every 3 to 5 years. Doesn't fit in with today's narrative. Well, get a load of this. December 2020, let me pull it up. We had NXT TakeOver War Games. December of 2020, less than 13 months ago, okay? Triple H had a media scrum. During that media scrum, they asked about the Forbidden Door. Would WWE work with other promotions? Triple H's response was, this is not 5, 10, 15 years ago, this was less than 13 months ago. He says, and I quote, "We're open for business in a lot of ways and a lot of things. People's thoughts and misconceptions, their perceived knowledge of what we do and how we think it's often greatly misinterpreted and are not accurate. Are we open to the right business opportunities? Yeah. At any given time, we're open to things. It just depends on what they are and if they're beneficial to us in the long term." And when I say long term, I don't mean 3 months. I mean 10 years. Long term. That's how we think. We're not necessarily worried about minute by minute. We are open for business. I think Vince says that a lot. And I've been around him long enough that if it's the right thing and it's meaningful to business, he's open to anything. Pretty important words you think would be rehashed, considering that it was only December of 2020. Now, remember what he said in that clip. They're not talking about minute by minute. They're not talking about temporary couple of months. They're talking about long term. 10 years, long term like that. There's not too many promotions out there that WWE can try to work with. There were rumors of New Japan. Didn't happen. No way they're going to have a long-term relationship with AEW. AEW wants to be a rival. You might see them do some little working things here and there. Tony Khan said recently in an interview that WWE has talked to them and about doing some video where they could exchange some stuff. And you know, a lot of people said, hey, you know, if Martha Hart signs off on it, maybe WWE would allow a little bit of Owen Hart footage be released for this cup that they're doing next couple of months on the men and the women's side. So when you throw a comment out there, now for all of us, let's be honest, even myself, you go back to December 2020 and you laugh it off. Like, yeah, when was the last time WWE really did anything? ECW, a little bit of NWA, a little bit of Smoky Mountain, Memphis. Yeah, we even had some weird moments in the Royal Rumble. Genichiro Tenryu was in, I think, the 93 and the 94 Royal Rumble. The Great Kabuki had a spot in the Royal Rumble. But this is all a long, long time ago. So when WWE talks about this, it's for long term. Now, listen, let's also be a little level-headed about Impact Wrestling. Impact Wrestling, this is something, you know, everyone now, they see the running joke, oh, Impact Wrestling truly kicked down the Forbidden Door. Not AEW. Impact's worked with NWA. They've worked with MLW. They've worked with AEW. They've worked with New Japan, blah, 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 blah. This person, when you have worldwide commitments and you do pay-per-view buys of less than 1,000 sometimes, and you draw 80,000 viewers on Access, you fucking try to work with anybody you can to try to get more interest in your product. That is common sense. If Impact was drawing 500,000 viewers, which is still a pathetic number, then you could say, okay, you know, all right, you know, they got a nice little following. You know, maybe they work with another company, get a little more here and here. No, Impact Wrestling is the one that needs the help more than anything else. That's why you remember early on when Impact and AEW had their early working relationship. Did you notice it? We noticed it. But AEW gushers and that fringe element on the left, they would dare never say anything publicly. Hey, how come Rich Swann is not showing up at Daly's place? How come Motor City Machine Guns or whoever the hell was in the early storylines, how come they're not showing up at Daly's place? It's always AEW showing up there. There's always, oh, Kenny Omega's in a production truck with the Good Brothers, this and that. How come nobody is showing up at Daly's place? It was so freaking one-sided, it was laughable. And Tony Khan, give him all the credit. Tony Khan got so much out of that. And Impact Wrestling, all it did was send a message to their own roster. Nobody that we have is worthy enough or strong enough to be heavyweight champion. So we're going to put the heavyweight title on Christian Cage and Kenny Omega for the next year. But since they started realizing towards the end that the ratings, Kenny Omega at the beginning, okay, 120,000, 130,000, 140,000. Oh, we'll bring back the TNA title. And what did they have last week? 82,000 viewers. I don't do demos, but just to point this out, the 18 to 49 demo was 0.01. You get in Blutarski territory after that. What is lower than 0.01? 0.0. What are the chances of DT getting laid tonight? 0.0. That just goes to show you the shape that Impact Wrestling is in. Impact Wrestling has so many commitments. That's why they have a pay-per-view literally every 3 weeks or 2 weeks. Every time tonight, they're doing Hard to Kill. We'll get into the lineup later. They're doing Hard to Kill. And they got a lot of great talent there. No question. But they lost their identity. And their identity cannot be, oh, WrestleHouse is returning. Impact Wrestling lost their identity. So now WWE and Impact start talking about the idea of maybe doing a little something together. And listen, let me make this clear for everyone out there that is saying to you, this is just a one-off. This is just a one-off. For those that aren't aware, last night on SmackDown, Mickie James was announced for the Royal Rumble, the current Impact Wrestling Knockouts World Champion. Pat McAfee name-dropped her on SmackDown as the Impact Wrestling Knockouts World Champion. Holy effing shit. For everyone out there that has heard somebody say today, it's just a one-off. It's to make up for what happened with the garbage bag. You know, everyone, the garbage bag. Remember the garbage bag? The same garbage bag that she got in 2009 when she was released. And for some reason, because it was sent again that way, she took it real personal. And look, Vince McMahon and Mickie James spoke many months ago, and Vince apologized. And he said that it was not intended as your stuff is garbage. So they buried the hatchet. But, you know, when you heard my Max Casper rap about AEW and people are going to find out, you know, they're just part of the business. When we talked about the releases, and I wrote it on social media last night, I said, look, when I tweet, I don't tweet to be viral. I tweet to be honest. And I will always, even though if I don't agree with the way business is done, and I don't agree with a lot of the way WWE does business, but I try to understand it. And I try to learn from successful businesses, not grocery clerk podcasters, not bloggers that can't even get a job in Arby's. Who am I going to take note of and try to understand better. How millionaire investors don't question this, but goofypodcast.com does. So Mickey James showing up at the Royal Rumble? Oh my God. It was like theater yesterday. How many times have you heard me do this on the shows? I said, take note whenever somebody's released, and they'll kill WWE for all the releases. But then when someone signs, Petey Williams or someone like that, what are you, fucking stupid? What's wrong with you? You didn't learn the first time? What's wrong with you? You freaking stupid? Are you a moron? How the fuck can you? They did it to Mickey James yesterday. This is the wrestling business. All these wrestlers, how many times somebody released that tells you, look, I understand what I'm getting into when I go to WWE. They all understand the risk that's involved. They still do it. They do it. If the contracts were so ridiculously bad, why do people keep signing them? Why do agents for a lot of wrestlers keep allowing them? But yet, TomsWrestlingBlog.com thinks it's freaking ridiculously stupid and that Andrew Yang and someone else needs to put a stop to this shit and we need to stop supporting WWE and blah, 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 blah. And then you realize at the end of the day, Tom is just trying to get maybe a little bit of attention on himself. And that motherfucker don't make no money on his own. Unless, hey, could you go fund me? I don't have money for my electric bill this month. I am not going to criticize Mickey James for being willing to be in the Royal Rumble on behalf of Impact Wrestling. So, what I was going to say before is, for those that you have seen the last 24 hours, a little less than 24 hours, oh, it's just a one-off. It's just a one-off. Stop making it, but you don't think WWE, you think that WWE did not expect this to go viral, that it would be the number one topic on everybody's minds? They know damn well that if they're going to do business with someone, it is going to be under a microscope by everybody. You do not do all of that just to fill a spot in the Royal Rumble, period. So now, Mickey James, as the Impact Knockouts world champion, she will be in the Royal Rumble. And Impact's official statement is WWE wanted it. Mickey James wanted it. And Impact Wrestling's philosophy is always to work with other major promotions to create buzz for the fans. We've been saying for years, the last many years that Impact has been in the doldrums. Everything is signed and agreed with WWE and Impact Wrestling. The only question is if Mickey whether will enter WWE's most historic annual matches as the reigning Knockouts champion, because I think she takes on Deonna Purrazzo tonight for Hard to Kill. So she is in the Royal Rumble. WWE and Impact Wrestling is now doing a little bit of work with each other, and I think it is excellent. I think it is excellent. Think about this also. Sure, it's something that people haven't really like put two and two together. You know, dark matches, Sunday Night Heat, Velocity, Superstars. You would have roster contracted wrestlers, employees, wrestle against outside talent. So if they don't have to commit to a wrestler that they really don't have any room for to really book them full time. But hey, you know, if we could give them a little extra, you know, all right. Let's use an example. Matt Cardona. I don't even think Matt Cardona is signed to an Impact exclusive deal. But someone who's signed to Impact Wrestling, Impact is their main home. They could still work elsewhere. Now, it's someone that WWE really doesn't have room for the next year or so. But, you know, it would be great if we could get them in for maybe a couple of matches. All right, you know, if they work the indies, they might get $500. All right, you know, we'll pay $1,000. Impact, you know, you want to do a little business here? Maybe we'll pick up their pay for whatever it is. Whatever they agree upon. Footage, whatever. WWE gets somebody on their show that they have no interest in investing on. With all due respect to Mickie James, and I'm not saying this to criticize her, but there's a reason why WWE let her go. WWE does not feel that she fits into the plans to give her any type of push in the future. Now, Mickie James, if you remember in an interview not too long ago, and you could all look it up, she was fine to be a trainer. She was fine to do other things for WWE. But she did not fit into WWE plans. But if they could get her for a match or two matches, gets a little attention on Impact, gets a spot filled for WWE, she's not on the payroll, they don't have to hire her, just to fire her 6 months later. So you look at WWE streamlining their roster, hey, you know, we could use maybe like a couple of, so just like a contractor company, construction company. You have your workers. Hey, we're going to do this big project. We're going to build something called the Royal Rumble. You know, we could use an extra big, you know, experienced contractor. Somebody that's very fair. You know, we could bring him on the job. Let's see if we could get somebody from the outside. Impact Wrestling is the temp agency for WWE. Who knows? I'm not saying this is going to happen. Who knows? You want to think outside the box? Look at 1997 when ECW invaded Monday Night Raw. And we found out a short time later that WWE was financing ECW to keep it alive. Maybe down the line we'll find out that WWE is doing a little something for Impact Wrestling to keep them alive. Now, it would be interesting and it would be almost impossible to hide because a publicly traded company. The investors have every right to know where the money is going. So for anyone out there that's going to start thinking, hey, you think that WWE is like maybe financing Impact Wrestling to do this and that, we would find out awfully quickly. Because in 1997, WWE was not a publicly traded company. WWE is. See, this is why I love being in business. You know, I don't try to get into territories that I don't understand. When I talk about health insurance, I'm an insurance broker for 24 years. When it goes to business in the stock market and having a publicly traded company, you have to reveal this. So you'll see the catchy tweets. Oh, WWE, you know, maybe they're doing with Impact what they did with ECW in 95. And then everybody, but then you don't think like, but wait a minute. Wouldn't the investors need to know that? So we will find out how far this goes. But right now, this is not a one-off. You may not see anything else for the very near future. But no question, WWE has finally kicked down the forbidden door. A lot of people realize Tony Khan tried to put the door back up. Remember what I said a year ago? I didn't see not one interviewer. To this day, I have not seen one interviewer ever ask Tony Khan, you know, when you're working with Impact and everyone else, was this like a one-year deal that on this date it expires? Because awfully quickly, suddenly Gallows and Anderson no longer AEW TV. That suddenly there's nothing with Impact whatsoever. Why the abrupt stop? No one ever stops that, but we do. No one ever asked that question. So I love the idea. Somebody earlier today said that I criticized what AEW was doing this with other feds. I would love for you to give me the episode that I said that. Because I said AEW was making out like a bandit with this stuff. From NWA to Impact and everything else, AEW capitalized on it. AEW was the ones in charge. They had all the cards. They have the biggest following. They have the most viewers. They have the most revenue coming in. They have live events. They have gigantic crowds. All these other feds, please, I need a little something. Can I just little name drop here? Why do you think some of these wrestlers sign AEW deals and then they might appear on two episodes of Dynamite the whole year? Because being labeled as an AEW wrestler does get you a little more money on the indie circuit. You don't think Jake Atlas, when he goes, well, not right now. We hope he gets better soon, and hopefully the injury is not severe. But you don't think that now when he goes on the indie circuit, you know, oh, we could, the promoter can now label him as AEW superstar, Jake Atlas, or AEW star, whatever you want to say. Gives a little bit more credibility, a little bit more strength. Nice little resume under your belt. Why do you think so many people that say, oh, WWE Hall of Fame is ridiculous? And some old-time wrestlers are like, WWE is bullshit. But yeah, when you get an autograph from them, one of the things that they'll always write is HOF and then the year that they were put in. It gives a little bit of extra marketability. So it's going to be interesting to see how far this goes. It's going to be interesting to see because remember, and this ties in to NXT. I stand by every word that I have said all along. Since March of 2020, when I said NXT needs to go back to its roots and be full-blown developmental territory. Because there is no OVW. There is no Heartland Wrestling. There is no Florida Championship Wrestling. WWE had no developmental group. Signing athletes right out of college and stuff, where are you going to put them? They're not doing house shows. They're not doing TV. How do they go out there and perform at live events? How do they perform in front of 50, 100 people to try to start understanding ring presence and where the camera is and mannerisms and reacting off the crowds and bouncing this and that? How are you going to do all that? They have to go back to their roots. No, everybody else, Triple H is a clown. He lost all his power. Not one investor has yet to question that. Ask yourself, why did everybody ignore Triple H's interview to ESPN 5 years ago when he called that this was going to happen in NXT? That is such earth-shattering reminder, and everybody ignored it. You know, you think that just people forgot? What Triple H's comments 12 and a half months ago, that we're open for business, we'll work with other promotions, but it's got to be long-term. Can't be 3 months. Can't be day by day. It's got to be long term, like 10 years long term. That doesn't get brought up today at all. Two interviews in a row. I'm telling you, what I'm saying right now is not sexy. It's not popular. And not many people are catching on to it. As time goes by, you're going to realize. Why do you think people were so angry yesterday? Angry at the Mickie James stuff. Ignoring that she made amends with Vince McMahon, ignoring everything else that's led up to it because they have to keep this agenda. Nobody gave any credit for Triple H for what he said there too because they got to keep him appearing as a clown. As a clown. You should be insulted that nobody went back and said, you know, I remember Triple H saying something like this a year ago. Wow, WWE finally did it. And in his words, he said, if it works out, it's got to be something long-term, 10 years. You think AEW would want to do something 10 years with WWE? Trying to build up as their rival? Oh, yeah, we'll work together for 10 years. That's ridiculous. To think MLW is someone else, it wasn't the right cards. Impact Wrestling, they work something out. And you start off with the most glaring name in recent memory when it comes to WWE is now an Impact. The fact that Mickie James is willing to come back is very, very telling. I wouldn't want it to be Jonah. I wouldn't want it to be Matt Cardona, Brian Myers, Heath Slater, Heath Miller, Rhino. I love Rhino, but look, he's in the Royal Rumble. No, you get the most attention by having Mickey James in it. So let's see where it goes. Let's see where it goes. But over the last 24 hours, you should be very insulted. Speaking of insulted, SmackDown yesterday. Now I'm going to go a little out of place. I got to go a little out of place because I got to talk about this right away. Yeah. Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, officially for the Royal Rumble. I'm just taking timestamps. By the way, I just want to set this up a little bit further. We had no idea who Roman Reigns' opponent was going to be in the Royal Rumble. And he returned to SmackDown just as we called it on Monday. And the storyline was he had no idea who his opponent was going to be. Now, if you remember Thursday night show, we joked for a moment that maybe Roman Reigns will take on Goldberg, which obviously we didn't want. We were joking. Then last night, I'd be like, oh, give him Veer. That would be pretty epic in a hilarious way. But, you know, the storyline was he's beaten pretty much everybody. So, you know, we have no idea who he's going to face at the Royal Rumble. It's not Brock Lesnar because Brock Lesnar's taking on Bobby Lashley. So yesterday, and I it's definitely worth it. I got to find something. Yeah, I think, yeah. A Bray Wyatt holiday box that's still sealed, not even open. I'm sure I won't damage this. But at the very end of SmackDown yesterday, Roman Reigns is in his office, you know, his whatever you want to call it, locker room. And you hear this. Like, the knock was the Shield's theme. I freaking laughed my ass off. I said, oh my God, please let it be Seth Rollins. He walks in with his now trademark laugh. Roman Reigns is like, oh, motherfucker. And I immediately went on social media. What do I read? The fucking roster split is dead. What happened to the roster split? Minga, enjoy this. We've been saying for years and years and years, the roster split sucks. The roster is watered down. Obviously, you can't have people travel like you used to because of COVID and Omicron and scares. So, but for some of the big names, you're not going to unify titles because Fox wants a champion. Look at TBS. Jay Cargill wins the belt. TBS on their profile now. Jay Cargill is our champion. Networks want somebody to represent them. Somebody's got to be on Raw. Somebody's got to be on SmackDown. Now, one champion could have two belts. Becky Lynch, perfect example. But I go online, I say, okay, who are going to be the bitter bitches that are going to criticize this? What happened to the roster split? What the fuck? There's nobody on SmackDown that he could face? This is ridiculous. This is bullshit. Though, as soon as you see that, you got to stay away from those people. We're wrestling fans. We want to see the best matches possible. You don't want the same shit anymore. At least we know that the Usos versus the New Day is not going to happen again for a title anytime soon. We're getting a match that we all wanted. We're getting Brock Lesnar versus Bobby Lashley. Oh, well, look at how they fucking treated Big E. Big E is in the faction that people, some people call the greatest faction in history. Suddenly Big E is not worth nothing? Oh, man. There's people out there that just cry about anything. This is freaking awesome. I love it. And I love taking pride that we never jumped off the Rollins train. I have, what, three Rollins shirts, and we always praise Rollins on here. Mish and I had enough debates about Rollins in the past. Rollins is freaking great. Rollins is a sports entertainer. You know, not everybody wants to have, you know, that's why you got to stop with AEW or WWE. It's two totally different animals. It's two totally different styles. Not every wrestler wants to be a sports entertainer. Not every wrestler wants to have episodic television. Some wrestlers just want to go out in the ring, get physical, get violent, bleed a little bit, show what they got. They love it in that ring. And some are like, hey, I could just show up and get a payday. He's creating this giant character about himself. This is awesome. There's nothing to criticize this at all. Zero. If you want to criticize something, you know, you could criticize this. This is from my... Anybody remember this from my old days when I was a complete asshole? I made that, what, in 2008? I was looking for old Samoa Joe picks. Back in 2008, Capital One had a deal where you could have your own picture on a credit card. And I actually sent in to have a Samoa Joe credit card just showing his tummy. And Samoa and Capital One came back and turned it down. So if anybody goes back many, many years, yeah, I found it in my hard drive yesterday. So I love Samoa Joe. This is just poking fun. This is back with Tribal Cock Joe in TNA. You know, he's talking about catering and stuff like that. So I love Samoa Joe. But yeah, it was a little blast from the past. Give everybody a good laugh. If Capital One would have approved that, how I would have I would have framed it. Even if the card expired, I would have framed it and I would have kept it forever. I would have turned it into a giant poster. I may still turn it into a giant poster. I'll wait and see if Samoa Joe ever screws up, which I don't think he will. I don't want to make fun of the guy. Guy is awesome. So let's talk a little bit about SmackDown. Because we do have some unfortunate news. In fact, you know what? Let's get this right out of the window. All right. In case you're not aware about this. On a house show 2 weeks ago, Charlotte was in a match with Sasha Banks. Might have been last week. I think it was last week. Sasha Banks was in a match with Charlotte. Sasha Banks landed really, really awkwardly. There was some video of it online. She was helped to the back. Later on that night, she went on social media and told everybody that she's good. So we were like, okay, thank God, no serious injury. Obviously, the way that she landed on her foot, you knew that something happened. Well, we found out today that due to her foot injury, last Sunday in Fayetteville, North Carolina, she will be out of action 6 to 8 weeks. She's got a bruised calcaneus bone. Is that how you say it? Calcaneus bone? No broken bones, but she will be out 6 to 8 weeks, which means Sasha Banks is out of the Royal Rumble. Sasha Banks is likely out of Saudi Arabia, and she'll be back in time for the road to WrestleMania. They'll have a month. They'll have about a month to build her up for WrestleMania. A lot of people think that Bayley may enter the Royal Rumble. If Bayley enters the Royal Rumble and she has to replace Sasha Banks, it'll be interesting to see if Bayley returns as a babyface. Because remember, Sasha Banks was supposed to take on Bianca Belair at, what, SummerSlam? And last minute, Sasha Banks did not compete. So Becky Lynch took her spot. And Becky Lynch, remember, she was supposed to be Raw. And then she had to, remember when I said, now batting for Sasha Banks, number one, the man, Becky Lynch. So now, once again, now batting for Sasha Banks, because it's not just the Royal Rumble she's got to fill, weekly episodes of SmackDown. you know, Tony Storm is gone. So any expectations of a push for Tony Storm is out the window. Now, we still don't know exactly the reason why she left. So I want to wait and see. By the way, William Regal posted some very eloquent thoughts thanking WWE for 21 awesome years. And he told everyone, save your breath if you think that I'm going to say anything bad about them. Class. But Sasha Banks is now out 6 to 8 weeks. So for everyone out there that says, oh, Sasha Banks, Royal Rumble, get it out of your mind. That's not happening. Now, we talked about, obviously, Mickey James being in the Royal Rumble. Well, WWE last night announced quite a few women for the Royal Rumble. And I'm going to share with you that list right now. We have Nikki Ash, Charlotte Flair, Rhea Ripley, Nikki Bella, Brie Bella, Shotzi Blackheart, Natalya, Michelle McCool, Dana Brooke, Carmella, Queen Zelina, Mickey James, Tamina Snuka, Kelly, Summer Rae. I don't know if I mentioned Aaliyah, Shayna Baszler, and Lita. Lita is the name that puts a huge smile on my face because you remember the discussions that we've had about Lita in WWE. She should have been celebrated so much more the past couple of years. And to me, it was just wasted. Even a little bit of stuff in NXT, even as if whatever. It's nice to see that Lita is going to be in this Royal Rumble. Now, there are 11 names that are not yet announced. Those 11 names, you know, all you got to do is look at the women's roster and just cross off the names that are in the Rumble, and you have an idea of who's left. Now, we all expect some people from NXT to be in a Royal Rumble. I think Raquel Gonzalez is almost a lock. I think Io Shirai is a good possibility. Maybe we get Trish Stratus returns, and we will see what happens. Now, Charlotte Flair being in this Rumble is interesting because she is the current SmackDown Women's Champion, and the storyline is that she wins and she could go for an additional title. You know, they could have gone a different route with that. They could have simply gone that, hey, she wins, she keeps her title. She doesn't have to wrestle at WrestleMania because she won, so she doesn't have to face herself. But that's kind of boring. The idea that Charlotte may want to challenge someone else, and she didn't necessarily say the Raw Women's Championship, which is interesting too because it's Becky Lynch right now. You know, we know the history between those two. But I'm liking it. I mean, for anybody out there that's disappointed about the women's announcement for the Royal Rumble, who the fuck did you expect? Who did you expect? Britt Baker? Thunder Rosa? Abaddon? Medusa? Deonna Purrazzo? I mean, what do people expect? Now with this little, you know, kicking down the forbidden door, you know, maybe someone is possible, but chances of it being an AEW person, I say almost never, not at all. Britt Baker did win. Okay, is that the only match that went down so far? No, it's the whole hour went by. Give me the results. Battle of the Belt results. This way, I would appreciate it, chat room, if you could give it to me so I could just mention it very quickly to everyone. Then we'll get the SmackDown results, a couple other things, and get out of here. So just give it a few seconds. While we do that, I want to give a couple of shout-outs from our Super Chats. And, I was messing around with this a little bit earlier, trying to get it to, like, look a little bit better. Dustin lost by pin. Ricky Starks won. Britt Baker won. Very, very predictable. Look, little wrestling Saturday night. Can't go wrong. I'm not going to criticize that. But a lot of people were extremely disappointed. Battle of the Belts. How do you only negotiate 1 hour instead of two? Are these people ostriches? Do they moonlight as ostriches that they have their head in the sand all day long? We knew for a long time it was only going to be an hour. And when they started announcing Bryan Danielson versus Hangman Page on Dynamite, the 2 weeks, you mean to tell me people didn't put two and two together? Wait a minute. What title matches are we getting on this Battle of the Belts? That's what you got. Yeah, even 90 minutes, Harris. I agree with you. 90 minutes is not bad either. I'd go with that. But you know what? Look, fun hour of wrestling. Can't complain. But that match with Sammy versus Dustin. I mean, look, creativity I love. No question. But what I love even more is creativity where you can't predict the winner. Where you're really torn on the fence. Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar, if winner take all, that really does give you thoughts. Wow, you know, you don't want to like kill Roman Reigns right now, you know, but then again, maybe Roman Reigns needs some well-deserved time off, not just 5 days because of Omicron. So that was so obvious. I don't know why people couldn't figure that out earlier. So anyway, King of Games 405, good evening to you. Was wondering, did I expect that Goldberg was going to be the one to walk in the door and challenge Roman? Realistically, no. We joked about it on Thursday night because he's got one match left in his deal. But I, if you remember what I said also last week, that I think Goldberg may be kept for Saudi Arabia for one more time. And the fact that they're going to go back in February, Goldberg could face, well, I don't know if Roman Reigns would go to Saudi. But if he does, you could have Goldberg versus Roman Reigns in Saudi Arabia. Realistically, did I think that yesterday? No. We joked about it on Thursday, but realistically, I don't know. I can't see how many people would have really anticipated seeing that for the Royal Rumble. I don't know about that. So, no, I didn't think so. I don't think many people did. James Campbell says Roman and Brock to screw each other out of titles. You know what? I'll give you a little preview about Roman. Roman Reigns, I'm just writing timestamps down. Roman Reigns will be on Raw Monday. We don't know if Brock Lesnar will be on. My guess is that Roman Reigns will be on Raw Monday to mess around with Seth Rollins a little bit. Not going to say that Roman Reigns will be in a match, but Roman Reigns is going to be on Raw Monday. It'll be interesting to see if they keep the Brock Lesnar storyline going. I will tell you this, the way it seems right now, just for the marquee, if they go Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns title for title at WrestleMania, that is going to be impossible to do. And I'll tell you why. Let me put the super chats aside for a minute. The reason why I don't see that happening is because the winner of the Royal Rumble gets to choose whoever they want to face at WrestleMania. You would have to have Brock Lesnar or Roman Reigns in the Royal Rumble as an existing champion and win the Royal Rumble to have, to put it this way, Charlotte Flair may have planted the seed yesterday. Now, we may just be thinking outside the box right now, but Charlotte Flair may have planted a seed yesterday that was intended for Roman Reigns or Brock Lesnar. Remember what we said earlier, Charlotte Flair saying that if she wins, she could challenge someone else. Instead of saying, hey, if I win the Royal Rumble, I don't need to wrestle at WrestleMania. I already have my belt. But she said something that you don't normally hear from a champion. So if Brock Lesnar is in the Royal Rumble and wins it, Brock says, I could be coming for your title, but then here's the only other kink in that armor. Why would Brock Lesnar have to defend his championship at WrestleMania? There would have to be some convincing by Roman Reigns to Brock Lesnar to put the title up. And that's an awful, complicated storyline to do. So I'm wondering if Brock Lesnar, remember when I said last Monday, would not surprise me if Brock Lesnar loses that championship before WrestleMania. Bobby Lashley could end up winning the belt, maybe at the expense of Roman Reigns. Maybe at the expense of Roman Reigns, like James Campbell said. Actually, no. Sorry. It was James Campbell. I mixed up your super chats. Here's a scenario. Big E wins the Royal Rumble, takes on Bobby Lashley, who defeats Brock Lesnar at the Royal Rumble due to being screwed by Roman Reigns. And then at WrestleMania, well, Brock Lesnar would have to win the Elimination Chamber. Or Brock Lesnar wins the Royal Rumble but loses his heavyweight title match against Bobby Lashley. He loses the title, but is Brock going to fight twice? I don't know about that. And then Big E could win Elimination Chamber, and Big E could challenge Bobby Lashley. So there are a couple of scenarios. At the end of the day, Big E versus Bobby Lashley is a match that a lot of people think is going to happen, and Brock versus Roman Reigns seems to be the WrestleMania match that has to happen. But the idea of doing title for title, that's very, very complicated, because if Brock wins the Rumble as the champion, why would he put the belt on the line? Unless Paul Heyman convinces him to, and then maybe Paul Heyman screws Brock at Mania or screws Roman at Mania. So a lot of scenarios to think about. James also asks, do I see anyone besides Shayna or Charlotte that should win out of these choices? Naomi? Bianca? Those are two right off the bat. I need to see what the next 11 participants are. Bailey, possible. But remember, there is another pay-per-view that would lead to another women's championship. So right now, though, that's my takes. But we need to see the other 11. We need to see the other 11. But right now, if you're asking me based on the only names that we've mentioned, Bianca Belair or Naomi. This storyline with Naomi's got to go somewhere. And it can't just simply be her pinning Shayna Baszler. Not Shayna Baszler, Sonya Deville. There's got to be something more with the storyline. And I think there is. I do. Team Forward, Liv or Bianca wins, Alexa eliminates Charlotte. That's not a bad idea. And yes, I think Alexa Bliss will be in this Royal Rumble. Look, man, I know that a lot of women were released also, but you think about it. You throw Raquel Gonzalez, Io Shirai, Alexa Bliss. That's three of the 11 right there. Not bad choices. You bring in Trish Stratus also. That's not bad. Four additional choices. And you still got seven more. Maybe you do get Deonna Purrazzo. Maybe Deonna shows up and eliminates Mickey James in the Royal Rumble to set up some. I think Mickey James right now could end up doing like Genichiro Tenryu. I was in the 94 Rumble. That he went down to like the final four. I think Mickey James will be in that Royal Rumble a lot longer than people think. And you can remember I said that. Prince Alberts, thank you for the five spot, my friend. Do I think WWE will turn Roman Reigns babyface again this year? He feels like they will soon after Mania. Look, anything is possible. Roman Reigns gets his share of cheers already. Remember, Roman Reigns is taking on Seth Rollins. And although a lot of us cheer for Seth Rollins is a heel on Raw. And he's been attacking Big E. He's been attacking Bobby Lashley. And, you know, WWE right now, it's an interesting dynamic what they're doing with Brock Lesnar. So, sure, that's possible. But I think in a lot of people's eyes, Roman Reigns is already a babyface. He's a heel. He's a babyface playing a heel. You know what I mean? Like the lines are very, very blurred right now. And honestly, I don't see many people complaining about it. So let's go over SmackDown little rapido since we covered a lot of it already. We had SmackDown open up with Brock Lesnar, Paul Heyman, and Roman Reigns. And it seemed like they were teasing Paul Heyman. Remember when we joked Paul Heyman on a pole? Paul Heyman on a forklift? It was almost like a love fest with Paul. Almost like a hate fest, though, if you think about it. Because they were kind of all annoyed at Paul Heyman. But Brock Lesnar, you know, doing Roman's line, acknowledge me, saying that to Roman. Brock wants to challenge him title for title. You know, let's do it. And Paul Heyman, you know, opening his mouth a little bit too much. And Brock Lesnar basically telling him, like, told you to shut up, Paul. And Roman hits him with the Superman punch and then leaves the ring laughing. So, nice little way to open up on SmackDown. I'll tell you this much. Me, with my warped thinking, when Brock Lesnar said to Roman Reigns, what are you going to do? What are you going to do about it? When he was confronting Roman Reigns, like, what are you going to do? I would have popped if he would have said, what are you going to do? Cough on me? I know they would never go there with the COVID stuff. But I think that just picturing Brock Lesnar saying that, especially since Roman just got over COVID, I thought that would be pretty ballsy, but funny. I think that would probably be the line of the week by a lot of people. Johnny Knoxville, we could see right away WWE wants him cheered. They do a backstage segment with him and Sami Zayn, Sami Zayn being a chicken shit heel. So obviously there's some interaction there with the intention of having Johnny Knoxville over as a babyface. We got Rick Boogs beating Sami Zayn with a fruit roll-up. Shinsuke was at ringside. And look, for everyone out there that's criticizing Shinsuke, don't blame him, blame WWE creative. He has the worst Intercontinental Championship reign of all time. The worst. Just do a Google search and look at his title defenses. It is the worst reign in quite some time on the main roster, because Isaiah Swerve Scott's reign sucked too. But Nakamura is outside. Sami Zayn gets into his face a little bit. Sammy a little distracted. Rick Boogs with the fruit roll-up. I tell you, I actually enjoyed Rick Boogs yesterday. I actually enjoyed his match. Strong motherfucker. No question. But Rick Boogs with the fruit roll-up. Sami Zayn looking a little surprised. He is looking outside the ring at Nakamura and Boogs. Johnny Knoxville runs in a ring and throws him over the top rope. So Johnny Knoxville gets the pop. Sami Zayn looks like a goof, you know, and blah, blah, blah. Charlotte Flair makes the Royal Rumble announcement that she's in. This is when we find out Mickie James is going to be in. Naomi comes out, confronts Charlotte Flair. We have a match. Basically, Sonya Deville comes out and messes with the match. Naomi and Charlotte are brawling outside the ring. Sonya comes out. Match cannot end by a countout. So then she makes it no DQ. And sure enough, Charlotte with the natural selection for the win. Trying to give the perception that Sonya Deville keeps screwing over Naomi. Will that be a Royal Rumble match? Probably not. I think Sonya Deville could end up being in the Royal Rumble. There's five out of the 11 that we already talked about. And here's another name that Dre Blivik said. Thank you for the super chat, my friend. He believes Asuka is ready to return. She should be on SmackDown. Her and Bayley both need to be on SmackDown. I agree 100%. Especially with Sasha being off TV for the next 2 months. Absolutely. You put Asuka in the Royal Rumble. So now there's six out of the 11. And believe me, as much as people are criticizing this Women's Royal Rumble right now, if you add Asuka, if you add Bayley, if you add Io Shirai, you add Alexa Bliss, and you add Raquel Gonzalez, this Women's Battle Royal is not that bad. It is not that bad. Good point with Asuka, Dre. Good point. We get another horrendous segment with Madcap Moss and Happy Corbin. This time, Moss is dressed up like Drew McIntyre. He actually impersonated Drew pretty good, which I thought was funny. his laughs. I don't know if his laugh reminds me of Grandmaster Sexay's laugh from back in the day. He's got this very distinctive laugh that sounds an awful lot like somebody who used to wrestle in WWE. I think it's Grandmaster Sexay. I got to go back and I got to watch some of the old footage. But the Viking Raiders, not happy about Moss and Corbin doing what they're doing. So they come out, we get a tag team match, and Madcap Moss basically pins Eric after hitting him with the punchline. Blah. You know, I've said it already. I think the Viking Raiders, I don't know where you go with them at this point. Sad to say. We had the Usos beat the New Day. Last chance for the New Day to win the SmackDown Tag Team Championships for now. And once again, table spot. Once again, 3D. I think we have to start saying, will we get the Usos versus the Dudleys in the very near future? Could we see it in Saudi Arabia? Saudi Arabia getting matches that we don't usually expect to get. They pay a little extra. Is the Crown Prince looking a little bit of attitude era stuff saying, oh, Dudleyville, give me Dudleyville. I want the Dudleys. Get the Dudleyville. Bubba Ray and Devon get a nice little freaking payday out of this. In fact, I'm going to put that in the synopsis later. Could we see the Usos versus the Dudleys in Saudi Arabia, February 19th? I say yes. Let's do it. But you can't have, who's Bubba Ray's host? LaGreca, Dave LaGreca? But it's got to be in the contract. No Dave LaGreca. He had banned from ringside, banned from Saudi. Dave LaGreca, you stay home. You stay home. Tell you, tables match. Sure, Mike from New York. I love it. I say it. I'm calling it. Dudleys versus Usos, Saudi Arabia. Special attraction match. Tall man, what's going on? Shout out to Bash 8. Austin Nance, always there doing the moderating. Most reliable moderator on the net, keeping things in check. Ken, Benjamin, Mike, Neil, Adrian, everybody else tuning in live right now. Thank you as always. Hope you're enjoying your weekend. I'll be honest with you. I felt really, really crappy today. I have a bunch of COVID rapid tests here, and I did a rapid test this morning, and it came back negative. So that's the one thing that sucks right now. Whenever you feel a little run down, you know, now you start getting this fear like, oh, maybe I should do a rapid test and see, you know, if I'm positive with Omicron or something. So many people are getting it, man. You know, you got to be a little careful. So, all right. So the Usos get the win. I'm going to stick with that idea for Saudi Arabia. And let's see where it goes. Hey, I don't think it'll happen at the Royal Rumble. Who are the Usos going to fight at the Royal Rumble? I mean, have they been announced for the Royal Rumble? I don't know. Anyway. After the match is over, as we said before, Roman Reigns is in his office. You get the Shield knock at the door. Seth Rollins just looks at him. Oh, I love it. I love it. Seriously, if you cover WWE, even if you don't enjoy WWE, but you're forced to cover it anyway because you're a journalist, if you have any reason to crap on that match, you should not cover WWE because you're too biased to allow just an awesome fucking match just to take place. That is going to be an awesome match. I'm looking forward to it. All right. So right now, the current Royal Rumble card, this is what we got so far, shaping up to be pretty damn good. For the Universal Championship, Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins. For the WWE Championship, Brock Lesnar defending against Bobby Lashley. For the Raw Women's title, we will have either Bianca Belair, Liv Morgan, or Doudrop taking on Becky Lynch. We have the mixed tag match of Beth Phoenix and Edge versus The Miz and Maryse. We have the men's Royal Rumble match, which so far confirmed Austin Theory, Rey Mysterio, Dominic Mysterio, Angelo Dawkins, Montez Ford. We still have 24 names. So we will find out Monday quite a few of those names. And remember, Roman Reigns will be on Raw. Looks like a great show coming up. All right, tonight we have Impact Wrestling with their Hard to Kill card. I'm just going to give you the card because I know for a lot of you out there, the show will likely be over by the time you see this. But just to give you an idea of, look, what the current lineup is, gives you some names to think about if we see any more interaction with both WWE and Impact in the very near future. We have, and remember this too, Impact has no problem having someone from a different promotion winning their title. So that is always a possibility. Imagine a WWE wrestler winning. You know what I would do just to fuck with Impact? You know what I would have done tonight? I'll tell you in a minute. It's a WWE match that could have went down tonight. Hard to Kill. Moose defends the world championship against W. Morrissey and Matt Cardona. For the Knockouts title, Texas Deathmatch, Mickie James versus Deonna Purrazzo. I'll give predictions since I'm here. Moose will retain. Mickie James will retain. Josh Alexander versus Jonah in a grudge match. I think you got to go with Jonah. Got to give him some rub, even though he's going to be there for a short period of time. For the first ever Knockouts Ultimate X match, Lady Frost versus Tasha Steelz versus Alicia Edwards versus Jordynne Grace, Chelsea Green, Rosemary. I am going with, I'll go with Chelsea Green. Hardcore War match, the Good Brothers and Violent by Design versus Rich Swann, Willie Mack, Heath Miller, Rhino and Eddie Edwards. I'm going with the Good Brothers and Violent by Design. For the Ring of Honor Championship, Jonathan Gresham will definitely retain that title over Chris Sabin. And the cool thing about it, they have Ian Riccoboni and Bobby Cruz calling that match tonight. So that's pretty cool because remember the other day I said, you know, I wonder if Impact would consider hiring Ian. But we do have some news because someone has replaced Matt Stryker. It's getting a lot of praise tonight. I'll tell you in a minute. For the X Division Championship, Trey Miguel defending the title against Steve Macklin. I'm going with Trey Miguel to keep his title. So now I said that we have a new Impact Wrestling play-by-play announcer, the new voice of Impact Wrestling. I am happy to tell everyone out there that the new Impact Wrestling play-by-play guy, no, it is not Adnan Virk, Tom Hannifin, who you remember as Tom Phillips, he is now the official play-by-play, the new voice of Impact Wrestling. He was calling the pay-per-view tonight, I believe. And, you know, it's very cool because there's a lot of people in wrestling. You'd be very surprised. There's a lot of people in wrestling that really like Tom Phillips. I'll have to get used to calling him Tom Hannifin. But, yeah, Tom Phillips, now the voice of Impact Wrestling. I like it. Like it very much. So, good for him. Congratulations, Tom. Congrats. Two other names that could very well end up being in the Royal Rumble, Tommaso Ciampa, Pete Dunne. They both wrestled a dark match last night at the SmackDown event. And, you know, the people thinking that they are main roster bound, You know what? Dakota Kai wrestled quite a few dark matches before SmackDown events, and she's still in NXT. Tommaso Ciampa versus Pete Dunne is a main event match on any NXT event. To give it to fans for a SmackDown dark match, that is pretty cool. By the way, for those asking, Ciampa did win. Yes, I remember what I used to call Tom Phillips. I don't like calling him that anymore because, you know, people make mistakes. So I'll just say the first word, mouth. Just Google it for those that don't know. I don't know if we're going to see Moose versus Brock. It would be a fantasy match, and the value of Brock. Oh, I was going to say, what I would have done for Impact Wrestling, I would have had a 24/7 title match at Impact, or I would have had something where Dana Brooke runs around the building and she's being chased by R-Truth and Tamina and what's his face? Oh, God. I'm trying to remember Tozawa, Akira Tozawa. I would have done that on Impact today. Just have him run around the building. Just like run during. In fact, you do it during the Mickey James match if you really want to piss people off online. No Reggie. I wouldn't want to do that to Impact fans, Reggie. Or you throw Reggie like running it. Oh, no, no. If I was Impact and you throw Reggie in there, ooh. So anyway, all right, let's get into AEW Rampage yesterday. Just some quick recap of that. And then I want to just briefly mention Big Swall's comments. She responded to Tony Khan's tasteless New Year's Eve tweet. She had some very interesting words to say. I'm going to share with you in a moment. Last night was the match with Adam Cole defeating Jake Atlas. There was some editing involved because Jake Atlas seriously injured his leg. I don't know if it's the knee, but he blew his leg out during that match. Adam Cole either teased or tried. I couldn't tell the difference if he teased it or just tried it and realized he couldn't do it. Teased the Panama Sunrise, but instead put a knee bar onto Jake Atlas. And Adam Cole gets the win. Jake Atlas will be out for some extended time. What they did to cover up, to take attention off the injury, might be a little bit better way to say it. Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly entered the ring and they all started beating down Jake Atlas, but then Best Friends make the save. And just teasing a little bit more with Orange Cassidy and Adam Cole. I personally don't want to see these three guys, if they're going to call them Paragon or not, why they're still interacting with Best Friends. I think that was only done just to take the attention off the fact that Jake Atlas got injured. So, interesting that Andrade cuts a promo, and now for some reason Andrade wants Darby Allin. Talk about some random shit. I'm not saying it's going to be bad, but that is some random shit. What happened to the Redeemer? Hook over Aaron Solo with the red rum after the match is over. Yeah, QT Marshall tried to attack Hook. He gets suplexed for his troubles. You know, they're using Hook the right way. You know, but I laugh when I look at these sites that grade the matches, and they're grading his matches as A or B+. They're fucking 3-4 minute bullshit matches. He's got three matches. Just because you like a match doesn't mean it's B or an A. Hangman Page versus Bryan Danielson is A or an A+. Hook beating Aaron Solo, you know, just because you like Hook, because you like the outcome, doesn't mean the match was good. The match was just your typical generic match. If that was on Raw, it would get rated like a C-. You know, typical match to introduce Hook to the WWE Universe. You know, nothing there. It's Aaron Solo. So what do you expect? I like the match, but I keep it in perspective. Ruby Soho and Riho, or as Jim Cornette says, Riho They beat Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter. More dissension screw-ups with Jamie Hayter and Britt Baker. Jamie accidentally hits Britt Baker in the face. Rio rolls her up with the pin to give that suspension of disbelief that Rio has a shot at Battle of the Belts. As we said earlier, no shot. And it ended up being no shot. No shot. Who was said? We used that phrase earlier last year. What was that phrase? No shot? No shot. What was that? Was that something with alcohol? Was it something? Did anybody remember what that had to do with? I don't think it had to do with Jeff Hardy. Remember I said last year, no shot? No shot. What the hell was that? I can't remember what it was. No shot? No shot. Someone will remember. Eddie Kingston, Santana, and Ortiz over Daniel Garcia in 2.0. You know, not the greatest Street Fight Rampage main event, but it was not a bad match. The theme of this was after the match is over, Daniel Garcia attacks, the trio. 2.0 gets involved and Jericho makes the save. So this obviously is going to set up a little bit more down the line with Jericho being involved. So can't remember what that was. I remember it. No shot. No shot. There was something with Vince. I can't remember what it was. Anyway, so not a bad episode of Rampage. I mean, the hour flew by. It was an enjoyable hour, but it's Rampage. You know, it's not meant to be on the level of Dynamite. You know, it's a couple extra matches that didn't fit on Dynamite, and it was good. I can't complain. So, just to finish up tonight's show, don't forget, tomorrow night I'll be here for the sit-down. We are definitely going to take calls. I'm sure some of you are going to want to call in to talk, especially about Mickie James. If you disagree with anything I said tonight, if you truly disagree, call in. We'll have a discussion about it. Quick discussion. But, disagree just to disagree. You know, if you really truly believe that, it's shouldn't be, speak it. Talk about whatever. It doesn't just have to be about wrestling. Tomorrow, it's your show. All these shows are yours. But, tomorrow night we'll be doing that. And don't forget also, just a reminder. I'm just writing it down. The Q&A with Don Tony episodes on Thursdays. Starting this Thursday, they're going to be live for channel members. Once the live stream is over with, the episode will be available for everybody. But it's something that, I have to give something special to our channel members. And asking quite a few of them, what they want. And they really want, like a small exclusive show where they could ask questions, maybe take some calls. So Thursday nights, it'll be open for channel members. Just a live stream. It'll be available for everybody afterwards. So let's talk about Big Swole. And she responded, finally, to Tony Khan's New Year's Eve tweet. And she responded exactly the way I expected her to. And if you remember my comments on New Year's Eve, I didn't have a problem with most of what Tony Khan said. That last sentence, we had to be a dick on New Year's Eve and say, I didn't renew a contract because she sucks. That's pretty much what he said. That's someone, that's a little child that's got to throw the last insult in. Before it's almost like you get into an argument with someone and you lost the argument and you get in your car and you leave. And as you drive, past the person, you, go to spit at them or something, or you're like, asshole! And then you roll the window up because you have to, then you look at your friends in your car and say, see, I told him. You had to have the last little dig. That is the definition of a dick. Big Swole didn't call him a dick. But this is what her response to that tweet was. When I read the Tony Khan tweet, it was not necessarily sent to me, but I got a text message. Do not respond to him. It's not worth it. At that time, I was already a little zooted because it was about New Year's Eve. It was a lot to process to read between the lines. Then I saw the complete uproar about it, and my first instinct was, ugh, you know, you turn your nose up at something. Why would you? You could have stopped right there. This is about Tony Khan's tweet. And everything would have been Gucci. Would have been good. But to continue on, dude, you still had enough character to promote the match. I couldn't believe it. It went from that to disappointment. Overall, I'm very disappointed. A person with that pedigree should know how to respond in a way that doesn't come off in the most negative way possible. In my exit interview, you praised me. You praised me for my leadership roles in the division, what I've done to help, and how my matches were good and great, and how, hey, we would love to have you back. That's what Tony Khan told her. A couple of weeks or so later, to this, I was very disappointed, embarrassed even, embarrassed for the people that are there. I really couldn't believe it. Did he even listen to my podcast? Obviously not, because it went completely off the rails. You went completely to counting brown people. It was truly about counting brown people. I would be naming certain demographics. Oh, why isn't there more Indian people? That type of thing. To answer everybody's question, no, there has been no apology. There's been no contact or anything, and I don't think there will be. I feel like maybe he feels he said nothing wrong. Maybe not at all. Maybe he felt that he had to send out the performative people with the tweets, trying to negate my own experience with their own experience, because that's exactly what it is, because I'm sharing mine. Then you come around to share yours in a way that you dig at me in the middle of it. How sincere is that? Would you have shared anything if I said nothing? That, I think, is the most powerful words that of everything she said just now. Would you have spoken up about how wonderful it is in your spots? Diversity is not spots, sweetheart, okay? It's not. It's performative at this point. Sharing your experience does not negate anybody else's experience. You have a right to share how you feel and what you've experienced and what you see. That has nothing to do with anyone else. It only has to do with yourself and how you feel. So that is her response. And honestly, I do not disagree with anything that she said. Now, obviously, I am not, you know, Indian or black, Asian. So, you know, I don't know what that feels like, you know, that treatment. I'm not a wrestler. But I do know when someone just tries to have the last dig, the last insult, and having her say that in the exit interview, he praised the shit out of her, and he basically was lying to her face. He lied. Which one is true, Tony? The exit interview or what you tweeted on New Year's Eve? That is a dick. That is a dick. Period. And I do believe that Tony Khan will grow. And there's a lot of things about Tony Khan that I like. Anybody who tunes into my shows on a regular basis knows I praise Tony Khan in a lot of ways. But little things like that, that's like people who online, you know, that they, oh, they're tough, they're from the streets, and then they talk like little pussies. You know, you see it all the time. You see it every day. And you may have a lot of money. That doesn't make you street smart, internet savvy, or, you know, even a classless person. There's a lot of rich people that are just assholes. You know, you think that you're a good person and you try to justify your goodness because you know black people or because you hire Indian people. That's not the way it works. The way it comes across to me. And that little insult at the end, that's what a teenager punk does. Like I said, it's like Tony Khan rolled down the window after he lost an argument, and instead of just taking your lumps, always another day, as he runs by, asshole, jerk, fatso. Yeah, it kind of happened to me when I was in high school, so All right, everybody. We're at 95 minutes. I'm going to jet out of here. So I will leave you once again with this awesome quote from WWE. Impact Knockouts World Champion Mickie James will be in a Royal Rumble match. It is obviously a big deal. And WWE knew damn well how much press this was going to get the minute this announcement was made. So let's see where it goes. Let's see who else becomes involved. You think back to the 90s especially. We had some appearances. The difference is two things. Because I remember. You can't compare the 80s. But the 90s especially, the two biggest differences, number one, WWE is not in financial trouble. They are a $1 billion company. Their stock is doing very well right now, and they are financially having record money. People are only now starting to realize how much they made last year when we were talking about $800 billion in a quarter. So there is no money issue. There is no legal issue. So that is something they don't have to worry about compared to the 90s. The second thing is it's a publicly traded company. So if WWE is going to help financially, there is other ways they could do it. But if they're going to, out of World Wrestling Entertainment Incorporated, which I think is their corporation, if they're going to finance any part of Impact Wrestling, we will find out because of them being a publicly traded company. The investors have every right to know that. Now, if Shane McMahon, Triple H, Vince, if any of them want to, out of their own pockets, their own private money, if they have a small corporation that's not publicly traded, that has no ties to WWE, and they want to invest a little bit, that is different. I'm not saying that's happening. Do not misconstrue what I'm saying. I'm just telling you legally how this could be done and it not come out of WWE's checkbooks. WWE could pay, let's say Triple H wanted to invest a little bit in Impact. Little working relationship. WWE could pay Triple H's pay, and WWE could put it into his own little corporation, and then he could take it out of that corporation and give it to Impact Wrestling, and since it's not directly from WWE, we don't have to know about it. That's how the game works. So this is what I love talking to you about. I love the business side. If anybody's been with me for any extended period of time over these last 25 years, the one thing you know is that I try to understand the business, legal, license, everything about it. Not just the quality of wrestling, not just the quality of storylines or creative or how people are treated. I try to understand the business side of it. And the more you understand it, the more you realize why this could happen, why this won't happen, why this won't. That's what I think is super, super important. So anyway, before I go, shout out to Gamers Block. Thank you for the 5 spot, my friend. Mickie James doesn't have an Impact contract, right? You think she will head back to WWE after a Royal Rumble appearance? No, she's got some deal with Impact Wrestling. Remember, she's also involved with NWA. Take note that NWA hasn't talked about this at all. That's interesting. Think about that. Why wouldn't NWA just bring this up too? So, like I said, give it some time and let's see if there's any other participants to the game. But remember, and I think probably out of everything I said earlier too, besides of what I just said about corporate, another thing you got to think about, with all the releases WWE made, you could see some of those names make appearances. And this is WWE having their cake and eating it too. Because now some of the wrestlers that they do like to put on TV once in a while, they hired them in the first place. They didn't turn into fuck-ups. That you have someone that you do like, but you don't want to pay them full-time. So you bring them in for an opportunity, a couple of matches here, gets a little rub, and then they're gone. So you could see some names that were released back for a short period of time. You might see some 90-day contracts come out of this. There are quite a few wrestlers who have been released that have done nothing, that have done zero. You look at those almost 100 releases from 2020, and you'd be shocked how many people are really doing almost nothing, other than maybe a little indie work here and there. So could Mickie James appear again? Sure. Why not? Hell, on a house show? You might see an Impact title get defended on a house show. I don't know if we would see it on TV, but you may see it on a house show. Why not? It's a special attraction. We had a Ring of Honor title being defended tonight. Ring of Honor is obviously only in name, but why not? It'll probably be one of the lower-end titles. You might, you know, see an NXT wrestler make an appearance. Why not? You have some NXT, I'm not saying throw Tommaso Ciampa on an Impact show, but we could very well see that. This is going to be some trade-offs, I'm telling you. You don't do a one-off when you know how much publicity you're going to get out of this. And again, you know, WWE does not have that much to gain when the promotion only gets 80,000 viewers. If you think about that. What they get to gain is they get to use some extra talent that they don't have to keep under contract. Smart business. So, look, I can't tell anyone how to feel about Mickie James appearing in the Royal Rumble. I know there's a lot of you out there that feel the way that she was treated on the way out, that even if they apologized, under no circumstances do you ever step foot in that territory ever again. And you have a right to that opinion. I'm not telling you that you're right or you're wrong. I'm just saying that we're not in the wrestling business and we got to stop scratching our heads and acting baffled. Why do people keep coming back to the enemy? Welcome to the wrestling business. AEW is no different than WWE, no different than MLW, Ring of Honor, or any other promotion out there. It's just the perception. And it's also, you know, the value of the deals and the, you know, the worth. There's a lot of aspects involved. Like I said, AEW has skated 2 years of interviews where no one confronts them about these lower end contracts that you don't work, you don't get paid. You get almost nothing. So, I won't release anybody. I'll just let the contract expire. Well, if you don't use them, but you could work the indies, good. Work everywhere else. Make your money. But we're not going to really use you. But you could tell everybody you're AEW. You know, nobody gets in that territory. We do. And that's why you and I are pretty much alone in on this. And that's fine. And that's fine. Like I said, we don't have to agree with a lot of the way the sausage is made, but we understand it. And again, blows me away. This is two Triple H interviews in a week that people are intentionally avoiding. So listen, you know what's going to happen. Let me tell you what's going to happen. Because I know how the sausage is made. I've been here since day one. I'm just 25 years doing this. What's going to happen is you're going to get regular viewers online that support a lot of these news sites, that support a lot of these podcasters. And they're going to be the ones to start throwing it in the people they support in their face. Hey, what about this Triple H interview? Hey, what about what he said, a year ago? It wasn't the right time, but now's the right time. Like, you know, what do you have to say about that? And, you know, people will brush it off. And then when it starts trending and it starts circulating, then when people realize, they could get a little buzz off it, then suddenly it'll be a big deal. Triple H saying not even five years ago, that every 3 to 5 years, there's going to be a turnover in NXT, like college football. We're going to give them the platform, and if they don't make it, we let them go. Doesn't sound like an outsider, does it? Everybody avoids that interview. Why? So, anyway, I'm going to jet out of here. Everyone, have a great night. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday evening. In the comment section, definitely talk about, you know, comment about tonight's episode. I will be spending about an hour or two tonight responding to comments because I am here by my lonesome tonight. My fiance, one of her Yorkies, is sick, so she stood home today to just take care of her, so I'll see her tomorrow. So I will be Saturday night responding to some comments, go to sleep a little early, and I'll be here Sunday night for the sit-down, 8.05 p.m. So if you want to chat live, or if you want to call in tomorrow, I literally, no joke, you see this? Blank. When I go into the show tomorrow, it is blank. And you basically set up the topics of discussion. So tomorrow, we will definitely have a good time. Thank you, as always, for the support. On your way out, if you enjoyed tonight's show, hit that like button because it really does help. You'd be surprised it tells YouTube that you enjoyed the show and they'll recommend it to others. And hope you could join me Sunday night, 8.05 p.m. So thank you, everybody. Much love, and you have a good night. Be well.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.